Good morning. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us this morning as we continue our journey through Luke. We are all the way up, well, to just about the end of chapter 10. It's only been, I think as I counted this, Pastor Walter, this is the 35th episode of the Bible study in the Gospel of Luke for this go-around. And just as a quick note here, 14 countries, Jawa Barat, Indonesia is listening right now, the Czech Republic, the United Arab Emirates, 31 states across the country, and they all say good morning to you, Pastor Michael Walter, from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, morning. Illinois.
Glad to be here.
You are now the center of the world, my friend.
How about that?
Yeah, I know you always wanted to be, right?
Right.
How go things over at Good Shepherd? I know you are looking to replace Pastor Hemway, who's been called elsewhere, and that's getting started. What else is going on?
Yeah, we're also looking for a youth director, family life director.
Can an old guy be a youth director?
Well, hey, we're open to whatever the Lord would lead there and bring to us. So we're looking forward to that. And then this week, Saturday, Friday, and tonight, and tomorrow, our big Women's Day of Renewal is about to get underway.
Look at that. Now, is this not, I won't say coincidence, but is this not providential?
Look at the text you get today,
and this event is going on over at Good Shepherd.
And they are definitely choosing the good parts here. They have a lot of good Bible studies. They will be participating in there.
Is it too late if someone hears about this for the first time?
No, they can walk in. They can head on over. It'd probably be best to look at our website to see the schedule of events that are taking place, and they're welcome to come on over.
Just put Good Shepherd, Collinsville, in any search engine, and
it'll take you right there.
Is there a cost?
There is a cost, and I don't remember exactly what that is.
Couldn't be too much, though. It's always very I notice things in Collinsville tend to be very reasonable.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Well, we think things in St. Louis tend to be a little more expensive.
I agree, which is why I know more about Collinsville. Oh, gracious. Well, it is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It is the narrative of Mary and Martha. And like I said, it's just a wonderment for me how certain pastors have wound up with certain texts. And I don't know if this is meant to be, but it's worked out well for us. If Pastor Walter, you would begin with prayer.
Let's do that.
We can get underway here.
Thank you, gracious Lord, for another day of life. And thank you for your life-giving word. And bless us as we look to it, to understand it, and to seek its application and impact in our life. Grant your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing. In Jesus, amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, kfuo@kfuo.org. The email address works from literally anywhere in the world. If you've got access to an email server, you can get to us with a question, a comment, or just say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tell us from where in the world you're listening to the Bible study today. Well, here again, you know, Pastor Walter, we have people who think they're doing what's right. Now, they're not necessarily doing something wrong, but they think they're doing something right,
and
those good intentions wind up getting a rebuke again. Why is it we can never seem to get things right?
Now, that's a good question. You know, I think about that a lot. For example, here's a question I've asked people before. Is a mistake a sin? You know, what's the difference?
It doesn't sting as much when you're told you've made a mistake as opposed to you're a sinner.
You definitely would have to say mistakes are part of a fallen world, though. And there is a certain degree of intentionality. We see this, for example, in the three words for sin in the Old Testament. The most common word, and also a common word in the New Testament, basically means to miss the mark.
Hamartia. Right?
Yeah, right.
So I have been paying attention.
And that's what we've got here, you know, kind of this issue of I just did not do well here. The other is the word for transgress. It's usually translated transgress, and that means that brings in a little bit more of a deliberate.
Yeah.
And then the other word, iniquity, means twisted, and I think that word gets at the deep root and cause of sin are just our twisted human nature, fallen nature. But yeah, you know, I mean, our mistakes, our shortcomings, those are also part of our sinful nature and our sinful world. And, you know, sometimes we think of sin only as those things I deliberately do, and I, you know, but there are times when we mean well and we're trying to do the right thing, but we don't. Another great thing here about Jesus is this really is one of these, I don't know how to describe this characteristic of Christ, but this clearly shows to me that this is the Son of God. You see, we're just right now talking about mistakes. Jesus never makes a mistake. You put me in that situation where he was, and you too, Roland, and here's what we would both do. We'd try to make everybody happy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing we would do, and we would end up not pleasing God. There are times when you have to say things that people don't like to hear, and Jesus just, every time, he says what needs to be said, and he doesn't play favorites with anybody. He loves Martha. He cares about her. Well, it's because he cared about her that he spoke to her in this way.
Before this moment, Jesus has been spending considerable, copious amounts of time working with and preparing the disciples.
Right.
And yesterday we see the lawyer talking about doing stuff.
Right.
You know, what must I do is the question that came out of yesterday. So no accident that the parable of the Good Samaritan is placed right next to Mary and Martha?
Well, I suppose that...
I mean, what is Luke trying to tell us by putting these two events right next to each other?
Yeah, that I don't know. It could be that that he wants us to make some connections there and see what's going on.
Well, it struck me that perhaps this is just an emphasis that you have to get Jesus right.
Mm-hmm.
Good intentions don't count for anything.
Right.
And that's just not fair. You know, it's not, Pastor. It's just not. I meant, God will understand I lived a good life.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I had good intentions. I meant to go to church, just got busy. Yeah, God doesn't seem to appreciate good intentions very much, does he?
He will not accept them as the perfection that he calls for.
Yeah, and yesterday the lawyer is thinking that he is working his way.
Right.
You know, his
he's keeping the commandments.
Yeah, which,
love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, wait a minute, I'll look for a little loophole here. Who's my neighbor?
Yeah.
Right, and so when you see these things like this in the juxtaposition here of that parable, which is it's basically Jesus unloading the law on this guy and showing him, you don't love your neighbor, you have failed to do that. And so here's what's not said in the parable, but it is said if you are thinking of the parable in the context of the entire gospel. So follow me. Follow me. I'm going to the cross, and I will fulfill what you cannot fulfill, and then you will be saved, and you will begin to do what God requires. But it's all based on follow me.
And your good works, I would, if I stepped into the mind of this lawyer from yesterday for a moment, you know, he was of the impression that his righteousness should earn him the respect of the people around him, including Jesus.
Right.
And in a way, as we go through the text, do you think there's a little bit of that in Martha this morning?
I think
she's
so,
she's earned the respect of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And I think she, too, is sharing here a little bit of that part of her human nature that says, I need to get credit for what I've doing. And I think that's a temptation we all have.
You know, I've told you as you came into the studio this morning about an experience I had with this text a while back when I was doing a Sunday class at my congregation at Ascension. And we had some guests in the class that morning, and they were the in-laws of the president of the congregation. And I always take a buddy of mine, a seminarian, and we teach this class together. And I kind of looked at him, and I think he looked at me, and we kind of, whew, we made it. And just as I start getting into the next subject, this very, very demure, very pleasant, gray-haired grandma in the back of the room says, now, wait a minute. I don't know if you've experienced that or not, but there's something about this text that can tend to make women, and sometimes men, very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you think that is?
I suppose that, people think that, there just has to be valid reasons for placing the work needs of life over and above. You know, here's the same thing comes up with keeping of the Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus does say that there are needs when you help people, heal them, even refers to helping an animal on the Sabbath as being a legitimate a reason to break the, or not quite to obey the law of Moses there. But I think that's a rabbit trail, that I don't think we... Let's keep coming back to the main point, and that is that Jesus is urging all of us to choose the good part, which is hearing him and believing in him.
Yeah. If I think anything I do is carrying with it the potential to impress Jesus in a positive way, why am I wrong?
Well, because you're just not you got a blind spot when you think that way of your sinful condition, and here's a way to think about it. I used this as an illustration a while back in one of my sermons. Let's say you just got sprayed with a skunk.
Oh wow!
And you walk into the room and you're the nicest person in the world, and you you're trying to do all these good things, and yet you're just obnoxious to anybody else. And that's the way we are before God. Our sinful nature makes us it's our sins that separate us, and we forget that. We forget we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. And so, he sees us as sinners, and yet he loves us and is doing everything to cross that bridge to us and save us. But that's the key. He's coming to save. He isn't coming to reward so much, but to save.
And the cross is the tomato juice that neutralizes that stink, right?
Well, hey, we could take that whole image of atonement covering, right?
Exactly.
Sure.
The text today, Luke 10, 38-42, Pastor Michael Walther. If you want to get in, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and KFUO@KFUO.org. At verse 38, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And that is our text for today. Sometimes Jesus calls people by name once, but is there something special about saying the name twice?
Pastor. Yeah, I think he's really emphasizing, I'm talking to you. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Yeah, I think that's exactly what that means.
All right, now we know from other texts that these two women are related to Lazarus.
Right.
And we know what's coming up in a few short chapters with Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we know about these two women beyond that?
Well, we can guess a couple of things. First of all, a lot of people think that Martha is the older sister here. And the main reason for that is she seems to kind of take a lead, and she seems to have first child kind of characteristics too, which is really illustrated in this account. That's one thought, but there's nothing for sure about that. What's the age, the birth order of Martha and Mary and Lazarus? The other thing about Martha that is maybe a little bit interesting is her name. It's not found in the Hebrew Bible, It's probably one Bible dictionary I looked at indicated an Aramaic name, and it refers only to this Martha. There's no other, you know, Martha like that in the Bible. An older Bible dictionary I looked at said it might mean might be related to the Hebrew word that means bitter.
Mara.
Yeah. But I don't know about that. I'm not.
It would fit for this text a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. One other thing that's kind of interesting is that this we run into a little bit of chronological and geographical things here with Mary and Martha and all of this because. You know, their home is in Bethany, yet we read about the time when Jesus ate at the house of Simon, and in the Gospel of John, and Martha serves, is serving, so what's going on there? And some have speculated that Martha maybe was married or was the widow of this Simon or something like that. Who knows? Mm-hmm. We can't be sure. But this is their house is in Bethany, and yet this is sandwiched right in the ministry of Jesus in Galilee. And so what happened? I mean, either Luke purposely pulled this out to put it in this location.
Right.
Or Jesus made a trip down to Bethany, and he is down there at Bethany. We're not totally sure about that.
So this may be like the how many times and when did the temple get cleansed?
Right.
Same
that
sort
issue.
Of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, that's why I asked earlier about why Luke places this here, especially right after the Good Samaritan. There has to be, because what we see are two people working to impress, I think, is mm-hmm. why they're. But that's just what I came to think about. You know, the thing also that caught my attention at this time, knowing what kind of a culture this is, would it be appropriate for a woman to invite a group of strangers into the home? Shouldn't that really be the man's job? Is she maybe being a bit...
Yeah, I would. I don't. I think that's... Yeah, this is definitely a patriarchal culture, yeah. And I'm sure that they would have had some... taboos like that. We see that, you know, for example, especially in Muslim cultures.
Oh, yes.
You know, men, you are not, it's not culturally correct for a man to speak to a Muslim woman and, you know, without probably the presence of her husband or something like that. Even then, they tend to probably stay separated. But this could also be part of Jesus really did break down some of those cultural barriers. Just the fact that he has all these women disciples is significant. And the way he speaks to them throughout the Bible, the way even he speaks to people, who is not his disciple, like the woman at the well. She's a stranger, and yet he engages in conversation with her. Very unusual compared to, I think, the typical practices of that day.
I've come to really appreciate the masterful way Luke builds tension into all these texts. And the reason I was asking that is yesterday the word hypocrite comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not the place of the woman, the traditional place of the woman, to invite the people into the home, well, then here comes Mary, Martha, right in the middle of our text, all of a sudden wanting to be very traditional. Make her help me. And that word, again, hypocrite, is sort of floating in the background mm-hmm. there. Believing, doing one thing, and then treating mm-hmm. others a different way.
It could be, yeah.
What I've really struggled to do is sort of see how these different sections connect one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun because, you know, I get to, see, unlike you, I can speculate wildly, and I've got you to pull me back in and go, now, that's a little bit too much. But it's just fun to sort of let your thoughts run with these and see how these things connect and pick up different angles on the story. But we do know she's playing the role of hostess here.
Right.
That's her job. But if we don't know the age, do we know that she has the authority to tell Mary what to do?
Well, that's why I think, you know, people think she's the older sister, that she could speak in that manner. But it is interesting that, you know, notice that she doesn't speak to Mary. You know,
yeah.
Take her by the side to the side and say, "Mary, you're supposed to be helping me." She addresses Jesus. Why that? You know, why is that? Maybe that would have been disrespectful to try to interrupt and pull her off to the side. I'm not sure. I think that's how we would normally handle a situation like this today.
Yeah, get her attention.
Get her attention and quietly, without not wanting to offend Jesus in any way.
Well, is she, again, this may be hard to fathom, because you have the situation where Jesus is welcomed into the home, they're preparing a meal for him, he's an honored guest. But if you think about the moment when Jesus returns to Bethany and Lazarus is dead, what does Martha say to him at that time? If only you were here.
Right, yes.
Well, it seems to me that we've got a little bit of a precursor to that. Is she blaming Jesus just as much for what's going on as she is Mary?
It seems like there's a pattern there, doesn't it? She does have a sort of tone of blame in John 11, and there's a little bit of that tone here, it seems like. You know, with those words, you know, don't you care? You know, again, if you had been here,
yeah,
it's very similar.
Is she telling Jesus what to do?
I suppose she is. Yeah, I mean, she literally says, "Tell her to help me." That's addressed to the Lord.
And how does that tend to work out for you?
Yeah. Not too good.
Because we seem to have that same attitude today. Mm-hmm. It's not what Jesus has to tell us, but what we have to tell him.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the thing that is so impressive to me is just our Lord Jesus's perfect consistency in all things, and how he responds to this. I couldn't do this. I wouldn't be able to do this. I don't think fast enough on my feet. I would want to try to please everybody. You know, obviously your feathers are a little bit ruffled up here. just okay, calm down. I'm sure if it was me, I would have said, "Oh, that's okay. Yeah, Mary, you can go help. We can talk about this later."
We'll talk about this later, it's important to keep peace.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's a social event.
Right, right.
You know, like the family getting together for the baptism of a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't let Uncle Bob linger too long by the table with wine.
Right.
Because you know where that leads to. So we'll just make peace and that kind of thing. But in this moment, we don't hear a word from Mary. We're simply told what she is and is not doing. The discourse is between Martha and Jesus. But who is the focus of this portion of the text? Who is the prime actor here?
Well, I would have to say Jesus is, and this the way it resolves to this phrase, the good portion, and that was his. Also, another key word here is in verse 39, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, in Greek, that word teaching is the word logos, and of course, that's a bit broad word in the Greek New Testament, but it is a word that connects us to Christ in not just in what he teaches, but in all that he is and has come to do. And she is really, really being a disciple there.
Ah, that's the word I wanted to get to here in the second half of the program. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. From anywhere in the world, Czech Republic, Indonesia, Arab Emirates, anywhere, get to the email. Let us know where you are. Join us as we return with Pastor Michael Walther. Also, quick note, Faith and Family launches next week, March 18th. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Bible study. Welcome back to the Bible study. It's the messenger of good news worldwide, KFUO. And a special greeting this morning to Kearney, Nebraska, which has a connection to our guest pastor, Pastor Michael Walther.
I was pastor there at the campus ministry back then it was called Kearney State. But now I think it's University of Nebraska at Kearney. There. So, we lived out there, and that was where we built our first house, and it was a beautiful home that we
fairly flat piece of country there.
Actually, it's kind of on the edge there of getting into the sand hills and rolling. Yeah, it's.
Pretty, I know how the winds can really get there. Rolling there, and this time of year when it's cold.
Mm-hmm. It's like a Grand Island.
Because you're wondering what
freezing cold.
what the temperature in Kearney may be this morning. We might look that up if we get a chance a little bit later. But before we get back to the text, let's go to the phones and bring John in on this. John, good morning.
Good morning, Rowan. Good morning, Pastor Walther.
Yes.
Yes. I wanted to just make a quick, an observation that I'd seen here, and concerning the study today. One of the things that I try to do here is I'll read through the text, and then kind of try to study it, mull it over my mind, and then if I have a little bit of problems with what's going on, I usually try to I'll grab copies of the Kretzmann's commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that on there that basically what kind of helped me figure this out was basically what seemed to be going on was that she was so absorbed. It wasn't that she wasn't doing the hostessing or things of that nature. I think kind of what it was saying is that she was so absorbed in the teaching of the word and got so wrapped up in that and understanding of what Jesus was having to say that she basically forgot about everything else.
Mm-hmm. So
and that was just something that I think it kind of stands out to me that there's some of the smaller verses and texts that we have sometimes means a whole lot more than is much deeper than what you think it really means.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're saying in a sense that Mary was distracted by listening so carefully to Jesus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was just an observation I had. I made that a quick one, Roland.
Well, thank you, John. Good to hear from you this morning.
Yeah, talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Take care, my friend. Have a great weekend. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So playing off what John was saying here, is there maybe a bit of jealousy going on? Would Martha like to be doing? Is it not so much what's going on in the kitchen, but hey, look what Mary's doing. I'd like to do this as well.
Well, I think that's that pious speculation there.
Yeah.
And there are many we can guess the motives. The one thing we don't have to guess about a motive is Mary, because Jesus stresses that she wasn't listening. Because she was being lazy. I think that can be a problem sometimes. That's a danger. You think, well, I want to study God's word. And this it can be a problem when I tell people at our church, too, who I can tell are really getting interested in God's word. They're really getting into the Bible and digging the Bible. And then there's this temptation, well, take my Bible to work. You got to remember, you're being paid to work, and it wouldn't be right to, cheat your employer unless your employer is okay with it.
KFUO tends to be that way. You can bring your Bible to work.
Bring
it's
your
not
Bible
a
to work and say, I mean, but, that could be a motivation, but Mary doesn't have that motivation. It doesn't seem there's nothing to indicate that except that she was listening and she was choosing what was good and Jesus commends her for that. Now, what's Martha's motivation? Well, there could be a lot of things.
Sure.
Maybe she is a little bit jealous or maybe she's afraid of something, like maybe this meal's not going to work out right because Mary is neglecting something and she needs help with this and everything's going to be spoiled and then Maybe also, here's the motivation, we talked about this too, if she kind of has that leadership role in the family, and if the meal doesn't work out well, well, who's to blame for it? You know, Martha, and she wants to protect herself maybe a little bit from that.
Though the fact may not be in evidence from the text, when it says Jesus entered a village, I mean, Luke says this in such a matter-of-fact way, but when you keep in mind the 72 have just come back after being sent out,
could it
very well be that this may have been a home where two of those disciples stayed and did their ministry in this town?
That's a possibility, I suppose.
So maybe she should have been better prepared because Jesus was coming.
I don't. Again, just speculation. you can wonder. Yeah. Let's say one thing about this. I think it's very important to nail down here. There is absolutely no way that we can say, well, Martha's not as good a disciple as Mary. And that's based on what happens in John 11.
And that may be the rub that women detect here.
I think that somehow a woman who tries to be a good host, isn't really a good disciple. And that's not the case at all. Martha's confession and her dialogue with Jesus at the death of Lazarus in John 11 is just amazing. And she knows she's one of the early confessors of him being Messiah.
Oh, yes.
Now, think of the significance of that. I mean, people weren't grasping that. And it's interesting, you know, that she knows about that. She's focusing on the Messiah. And so what is it then? I mean, what is it in the end? I think it is a good example. I think the key word is distracted with much serving. And this is a question of balance for the Christian. And it's a challenge for all of us. How do I balance everything that I need to do in all my vocations in life? The third commandment comes to mind here. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And what is the major issue with the third commandment? Work. 6 days you shall work and do all your labor, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. So this is Martha. Jesus is teaching both of them and us the importance of looking to God and finding balance in our life in terms of hearing God's word. Now, this is so important, and this is the great thing to take away from this, that I talk with people all the time who come to me with problems in their life.
Sure.
And often, not always, but often, one of the biggest problems in their life is that either it started before or it started after the problems, but there's a falling away from worship, and it's just so common, and I try to explain to people that nothing's gonna get fixed in your life with that continuing to be an imbalance in your life. I'm not saying that if you start coming to church regularly, all your depression is going to go away and everything's going to be great and the sun's going to come up and you're going to be happy, because there's cross-bearing that we have to deal with and get through. But what I am saying is that Jesus is right. She has chosen the good part and it will not be taken away. And all that is good in life begins with our receiving God's word. Now, the balance is illustrated again. I'll just tie these two things. Again, this is kind of speculation too. But so in the Sabbath commandment, one out of seven, there's a suggested balance there, isn't there? I mean, it's true. I mean, we can't read the Bible all day. We've got to put food on the table. And I think about these things sometimes because it's kind of a temptation, you know, to want to.
Yeah, there's a hierarchy of vocation.
You know, I'd like to read my Bible all day and never have to do any labor. And then look at what happens in the Lord's Prayer. You also get a kind of one out of seven balance suggested in the Lord's Prayer. Seven petitions.
Yeah.
One of them, give us this day our daily bread. The rest of them tend to focus on our spiritual needs. I just think that's kind of interesting that that you see that. But they're also sort of inverse too. The Sabbath commandment is saying work six, and then take your spiritual feeding one. The Lord's Prayer is saying pray for your spiritual feeding six times and for your physical needs one time, sort of speak.
Well, that would make them complementary then.
They are. They are kind of complementary from a law point of view and a gospel
point of view.
And, but anyway, at least you could take away from this that I need to look at my life and I need to seek some balance here and give God some time to be part of my life.
That's that word perspective that I talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really comes through here with Luke is we have our perspective and then Jesus has to come along and straighten out our perspective, and that's not pleasant.
Right.
Because even in your ministry, I'm sure pastors can become completely preoccupied with serving, and that takes away from other things that you're supposed to be doing, like being in the Word.
Pastors really struggle with balance.
Yeah.
It's a very, very difficult problem for us because of a number of things. One being our own human nature, we like to do certain things. So you have some pastors that study God's Word all the time and they don't get out and visit their people. That's not a good balance. It can go just the opposite, too. I've seen that, where you have a guy that's busy, busy, busy with all the people things, but like Martha, but what's he feeding them with? Because he's not really allowing himself to be fed very well.
Right.
And that's not good either. So, asking the Lord, help me find the right balance in my life, and that's a great prayer for us to be asking. And basically, I think, the Lord's Prayer that follows is leads us right into that.
It strikes me in what you're saying also that there's a connection back to the lawyer from yesterday and this question about who is my neighbor. It seems to me that Martha doesn't see the problem as hers.
Mm-hmm.
She sees the problem as somebody else's.
Right, that's true. That is a good point. I mean, that's just such human nature. It's always
self-righteous,
self-righteous. It's blame somebody else. It's the difficulty, wherever it may be, can't be with me. It's got to be with somebody else.
Yeah.
I tell myself that all the time when I'm frustrated about something.
Sure.
All right, okay. How much of this is me and how much of this is you? You'd be surprised how many people won't even ask that question. How much of this is me and how much of this is you?
Well, that's because we know it's all you.
Right.
It's not me. Is it the problem that I did something wrong or that you noticed that I did something wrong? It's all about the perspective. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and KFUO at KFUO.org. James, good morning. You were on with Pastor Walter.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Pastor Walter. Our text today talks about Martha's worried attitude, and another attitude I find prevalent in the faith community today is fault-finding. And it seems far too easy for the faith community to point out flaws and kind of neglect the bigger picture of importance. I think when we don't consider the effect of our criticism on our brothers, it doesn't come out as in a constructive manner. And so I think to be worried and troubled, as Martha was, about many things are non-essential, And instead of focusing on the non-essential things, we should focus on the essential things, such as the raw law of loving God with all our heart and soul and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So I guess my question to you, Pastor, is this not the same fault-finding or loveless attitude that's found in the church that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, where they have all the good works and the patience and the discernment, but they've left their first love. I kind of see, or I've been seeing lately, or coming across where in the faith community it's just so prevalent to just fault find and not focus on the essential things or the bigger picture. And I'll hang up and listen to you.
Okay.
All right, James. Thank you.
Yeah, the passage that came to my mind is from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus famously says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And, of course, in the context there and in the context of the New Testament, that doesn't mean that we should never criticize anybody and never judge anybody. Because in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Judge with righteous judgment." And there we're bringing up a good word now, righteous. And so what we need to think about here is that when it comes to criticism, we need to be very careful. So Jesus goes on to talk about the taking the log out of your own eye.
Right.
Then he says, and before you take the speck out of your brother's eye. So right there he's saying that you do take specks out of people's eyes. And that's why I say when he says judge not, he's not saying we should never judge. But what he is saying is if as soon as you start to judge, criticize, it calls for extreme. It's the most dangerous surgery a surgeon performs. It must be approached with extreme care and righteousness. And so here's what I think where James was going. Self-righteousness is dangerous. Self-righteousness brings out the wrong kind of criticism. But Christ's righteousness can bring forth the good criticism that needs to happen. And so we must always be checking ourselves, get that log of self-righteousness out of our eye before we try to do any speck removals from anybody else's eye. That's the way I would look at it. It's not, and let me also just say to what James is saying too, both extremes are dangerous. You get to the extreme of self-righteous, unconstructive criticism, that's bad. But just as bad also is the, let's just make everybody happy and never say anything's wrong either. And so we have Jesus making a criticism here to Martha, but he does it in righteousness.
Would he have been wrong to have given her a stern rebuke like we've seen him do before in Luke? He's very gentle here. He's very relaxed.
Martha. Yeah. Well, that's probably because that might suggest to us the motivation behind this, that Martha has... It's a distraction, not a...
Yeah.
What's the other word I'm trying to think of? It's not like she's against the Word of God. Now, if she had been against the Word of God, then I think you would have got that stern rebuke. Maybe that's something we should pick up on.
Yeah, that's again, why, you know, when you look at these texts and you think about them, you try and make the pieces fit together, because we've seen Jesus tell people who've had very good intentions.
Right.
Very strong things.
Yeah, and I think he says it that way probably because he knows her heart and he knows where she's coming from. But it still needed to be, the correction still needed to be made.
Now, I don't know if some of the ladies over at Good Shepherd are listening right now as they go through the Day of Women's Renewal, but, and again, go to the Good Shepherd Collinsville website, get some information. It's still not too late to attend those activities. Here's the toughest question I can put to you today, and it's one of those words that make people bristle when it comes to relations between men and women. Was Martha's biggest error her lack of submission?
Well, you know, I don't think so, because I think Jesus would have said something about that. The focus that he places on what it was that they were talking about, the choice of listening to the Word of God or working on the meal, I think that's where he keeps the focus. If it had been a big issue of I don't respect your authority, or something.
Well, but
like
I mean,
that.
She does. In fairness, she does correct him from her perspective,
yeah.
And she does tell him what to do.
Right. Yeah, that is true. But Yeah, that's and then why Jesus, you know, I think probably culturally in that day there wouldn't be too many men that would have listened to something like that. It shows us about Jesus also in his rearranging a bit of some of these cultural things between men and women, and giving them more opportunity to dialogue and discuss things and so on.
I mean, he is the rabbi. He is the guest. She refers to him as Lord,
mm-hmm.
with a capital L in the ESV here. And then she corrects him and tells him what to do. And, you know, we do the same thing, don't you think, Pastor? We acknowledge him as Christ, and then we tell him what to do and point out his errors to him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this inconvenience of a six-day creation, come on. You know, really? Really? You know, women can't be pastors? Oh, come on, really?
You know, right.
I'm sure you made a mistake there. We'll fix that for you.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true.
And this is what Martha's doing here. She's seeing an error and saying, I got it. I'll fix this for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and there's a trust thing going there too.
Jesus turns it right around and places the fix on her.
Yeah, good.
And she must have gotten that because the rest of her life seems to have indicated great discipleship.
Yeah,
there.
505-7850. Let's take a call here from St. Louis. Larry, good morning. We've got a couple of minutes. Get in here real quick.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Roland. I want to go back to this verse, and if we can, in Revelation 2:4, I think this section of scripture is misunderstood in a lot of instances. Verse 4, do you have a Bible there, Pastor?
I do have it, yeah. The love you had at first, right.
Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. I've done a little homework on Revelation, and I think what they're talking about here, first love, the Ephesians were the first church to sell what was known as the Ephesian letters, and these letters were basically charms, and they were attributed to illness, couples who were childless, and basically they were the modern day promise of indulgences. So by saying they lost their first love, I'm attributing that to the loss of the gospel. They were turning away, as Paul talked about in Galatians, they were turning away from the gospel. That's the love. A lot of people will attribute it to a brotherly love, but it's the love of the gospel message. Would you agree, Pastor?
Well, I would see it as, and I'm not trying to make everybody happy here, but I definitely see it both. That is, true love for your neighbor cannot happen without knowing
exactly.
We love because God first loved us. But
right.
Your point is a very good one to make. If we have abandoned love for our neighbor, it's because we abandoned God's love for us, and that they both go together.
Right. Yeah. It all flows, like my pastor always says, it all flows from the crux. You know, and I think criticism, there's three categories of criticism. I would say constructive, destructive, and instructive. It's all about how you apply things. You know, sometimes people probably hear me on the radio and they go, gosh, he's a little heavy-handed in some of his viewpoints. But actually, I'm just a Lutheran's Lutheran. Right, Roland?
I'll go with that, sure.
Huh?
Risking a phone call from you after the program? Sure, I'll agree with you. No problem.
All right.
I do agree. Larry is, and he knows his stuff, too. He spends quite a bit of time in the Word. So just very quickly, about 30 seconds left, if all I take away from this lesson is that a woman's work is in the kitchen and a man's work is to talk theology, what have I gotten wrong?
Not at all. But it's take away from this that we need balance, and look right into what you're going to talk about with the Lord's Prayer. And you need to pray for that balance, and pray for finding the good part that Jesus says Mary has found.
And again, very quickly, if folks want to come over to Collinsville and participate in that Women's Day of Renewal, what do they do?
Just check our website, goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
That's all there is to it. It's good to have you in the studio. Good
Glad
to see
to
you
here.
Face-to-face, my friend. Take care.
All right.
All the best. As things come up over there, Good Shepherd, let us know.
All right. Bye.
All right. Coming up next, Ask the Pastor. The Reverend Dr. Martin Nolan is here. I've got some more Bill O'Reilly for you. Rob Bell is back. You remember Rob Bell, There Is No Hell? All that's coming up for your Friday. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.